who's and what's and why's and wherefores. Here you'll find your whatnots and therefores. So come on along, let's find out what's going on. Where's and when's and who's and what's it's. No matter what your taste, you can trust it's the place where you can find all your new Disney news. Where's and when's and who's and what's it's. No matter what you taste, you can trust it's the place where you can find all your new Disney news.
Welcome to the Sweep Spot Podcast, the current events edition as of January 5th, 2024.
All right. So happy to be here. Looking forward to this edition of the Sweep Spot Podcast.
That's right. Ken and I are both former Disneyland Custodial cast members, and we host the number one Disneyland podcast hosted by two former Disneyland custodians.
Number one.
And also wanted to say Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. That's good to see you here. Thank you for joining us.
I'm happy to get back in. We had a little bit of a break, which is nice.
That's right.
And I'm happy to get back into the year and get going with, we have some great guests coming up. We have some great episodes planned. And just looking forward to this year. I always look forward to the beginning of the year. It's just like a fresh start. Although we've been doing this, I don't know how many seasons we've been doing this, but I know that I think we're going to hit 13 years of the podcast this March. So,
wow. Well, yeah. And the reason why people should listen is because we are two former Disneyland custodial cast members. As you said, we're the number one show hosted by those people with those credentials. And so we bring our unique perspective to what's happening now at the Disneyland Resort when we discuss the current events. So you don't get this perspective from anybody else.
Yeah, there's a lot of podcasts out there, some good ones, some not so, and we fall in between there. we've been doing this a long time, and we are not experts by any means, but I still enjoy doing it. It's really interesting. You'd think that I'd be sick of it by now.
No.
But I'm not.
In fact, we're gonna go to Disneyland.
That's right.
Soon, and if people want to see us there, they should know about it.
That's right. If you're listening to this near the release date, January 5th, we will be there in 2 weeks, and Ken and I will be in the parks. Probably most likely just Disneyland. I don't know. We may venture over, but probably just Disneyland. And then if you want to follow us like on social media, I'm on the Sweet Spot. I'll be checking mine all day long. I'm going to be posting things. And if you want to meet up with us, just message me. And let me give you my cell number. No, just kidding. And then you can message me on Instagram, Facebook. You can even email thesweetspot@gmail.com. Everyone can email. And I'll check emails. And if you want to meet up, just say, hey, I'd love to meet up with you guys if you're going to be over here in Galaxy's Edge by the Millennium Falcon at, 12:30, and we'll try to get over there or something like that. But I will have some buttons to hand out, and we'll just, chat and say hi, and then we'll be a lot of fun. So hope you can make it out there. I will be there on the 18th, probably in the late afternoonish into the night. So if you want to, I'm going to be there preparing the place for Ken's arrival. So
that's right. But I have my advanced team.
I don't always announce. I don't always announce when I'm going to be there because sometimes I'll be there with family or just. But I definitely want this trip is solely to kind of hang out with Ken and just kind of. I'm going to take some photos and stuff. And we're also going to be recording, if all goes well. The plan is to record the next current events in Disneyland. So we'll see how that goes.
I don't know if we should announce that. They might not like us to do that. I don't know.
Who, Disneyland?
It'll be like one of those old radio remotes.
Oh, yeah.
Used to do, yeah.
Yeah. It may sound like that. I don't know. well.
We should get Stacia Martin to sit down with us. And,
oh, that'd be awesome. Anyway. Yeah. We'll interview some of the custodial staff while we're there.
Could do that, yeah.
So, as you know, we don't need to mention it, but we have books out, Queenie the Kingdom. You can get autographed copies, thesweetspot.com. Amazon has the paperbacks also, but they're not signed. Digital copies on Kindle and audiobooks on Audible, both books. It's two separate books, two different content for each book, and you can get those books.
And you wanted to do more reading in the new year, right, folks?
So, oh, yeah. It's always a good goal.
Come on. More reading. Get those books. They were selling very briskly recently because got a lot of notice in the news media. So
yeah, the last few months have been awesome. All right. Well, then we also have a Patreon. And if you'd like to help support the show, we would love that. And it keeps the bills paid and keeps us going here. We want to make it. We want to go 14 years. We want to keep going. So
that's right.
We have this Patreon thing. And for $5 or more a month, you get some great perks. You get to listen to a bonus episode that Ken and I record specifically just for the Patreons. There are always some fun, different topics. We kind of go deeper into some like current event topic or something. So you get to join us during our current events,
which is going on with this,
this episode
in just a few minutes. Everybody will hear that.
That's right. So, you can join that and it's a lot of fun. So for $5 more a month, but if you don't really care for the perks, you don't have time or whatever, I totally understand, or the money, you can even give $1 a month, and we really appreciate every bit we can get. We appreciate it. I did want to mention, though, we did have some new Patreons over the past month or so.
Yay. So good to hear.
First one we have is Neil Winchell. Neil. I know Neil. He's a
concierge
client. So thank you.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And we also have someone by the, they don't have their name here, but I know who it is. It is called Meat Sweeper 749.
All right.
You know who you are. We worked with this guy. All right. And then we have, who's this next one? Oh, we have Brianna Fisher. Thank you, Brianna. Really appreciate everyone's support. And we truly do appreciate it. All right, Ken, I think we need to get right into the current events.
We do, but I just want to say, even if you can't find, whether you can financially support the podcast or not, you can support us by leaving a review.
That's right.
And we typically, Lynn will read the reviews on the program, usually at the end of the main topic episodes, because, we do these current event episodes and then the next week we have a main topic episode out and we just kind of alternate that way. So the review, if you've left a review, we tend to read it at the end of the main topic episodes. So if you do leave a review, we will eventually get to it and read it then.
Sounds good. We need to get right over there.
All right.
Hello, everyone. This is Eric Johnson with Concy Ears, and welcome to the D180. While Ken and Lynn cover all things Disneyland, in the D180, we take a spin around the rest of the Disney universe, and we do it in 180 seconds. Let's jump right in. We're back. Happy New Year, everybody. I hope you had a restful or exciting holiday season, depending on your preference. It's great to be back with you talking about your next Disney adventure. We start this week in Walt Disney World, where deals abound. I've talked before about how Disney is making it easier to navigate the parks by removing the reservation system for day ticket guests. Sorry, pass holders. They're also bringing back a version of their very popular dining plans. The newest deal released this week is just for the Disney Plus subscribers. If you're not one, you definitely want to sign up. Disney Plus subscribers staying at a Walt Disney Resort this summer will receive a free dining plan for all party members. Deals like this used to pop up from time to time, and they are huge money savers. Not familiar? Listen up. For the purposes of this discussion, know that a table service meal is anywhere you sit down and get served by a waiter or any of the buffet options around the resort. Quick service meals are those where you order at a counter and enjoy it at a table or on the go. Snacks are single serve items like ice cream bars, fruit, or popcorn. All right, the details. The main Disney dining plan gives you one table service meal, one quick service meal, and one snack per night of hotel stay. If you want to enjoy one of Disney's fine dining options or some of the more popular character dining spots, you can combine two table service credits for your meal. This deal is for vacation packages scheduled from July 1st through September 30th. Whether you get a dining plan or a quick service plan depends on which resort you choose. Clear as mud? Give one of our planners a call. Everybody is prepped and ready to walk you through your options. If you're more in the mood for a trip at a different time of year or just a discount on your stay, there are tons of rooms available at Walt Disney World with up to 35% off your trip. Visit for five or more nights from March 25th through October 3rd, and you'll have a wide variety of choices. The discounts vary by resort and by date, so once again, it's probably easier to talk to a concierge planner about your options. For those in for a different adventure, ask about the Disney Cruise Line or Adventures by Disney. For the first time, Disney Cruises will visit Lookout Key in the Bahamas this year. Some cruises are even bringing back Marvel Day at Sea and Pixar Day at Sea as well. We also get to see a new adventure tour in Colombia. There are so many places you can visit and explore with a Disney vacation. I hope you enjoyed our quick spin around the rest of the Disney universe. If you'd like to learn more about these Disney adventures or just have a few questions, please come on over. Visit the social media and websites of both the Sweep Spot and Consi Ears. Then reach out to Lynn, your personal travel planner. He looks forward to planning something special for you and your family. For Consi Ears, I am Eric Johnson, and this has been your D180.
Looking to go to Disneyland Resort in California, Walt Disney World Resort in Florida, Aulani in Hawaii, or on a Disney cruise, or Adventures by Disney Vacation, I am here to help you book the best vacation possible, and my expertise and services won't cost you anything extra. Disney pays me, not you. As a perk by booking a package with me, I can also book your dining reservations, park reservations, tours, shuttles, and more. Let me do the hard work while you get excited about your upcoming Disney vacation. I can also book Universal Studios trips as well. By booking with me this year, you will receive 3 months free of our Patreon perk, like our bonus episodes, and join in on our current events live. So contact me at lbarron, that's LBARRON, at concierge.com, that's concierge.com, or thesweepspot@gmail.com. Now we're going to have the current events. Ken, what do you have for us?
Oh, Lynn, we've got a few things to discuss since it's been a little while since we took a holiday break.
Yeah.
Happy New Year to everybody. We are here, and let us plunge right back into what is happening at the Disneyland Resort. All right. For those of you who download our podcast and listen right away, heads up, if you've been waiting for Magic Key sales to resume, they're coming back. So, as the Orange County Register reported from Brady McDonald, Disneyland restarts Magic Key annual pass sales. Sales of all four tiers of Disneyland Magic Key annual passes will start on January 10th. So, start your engines, folks, because it's going to be a mad dash. As it says here, sales of all four tiers of the Magic Key Annual Passes will start on Wednesday, January 10th, no earlier than 9 a.m. Pacific time, according to Disneyland officials. See, they want to make sure you're going to be at work so that it's only the people who are unemployed and at home, you know. Anyway, Disneyland raised Magic Key prices in October to $1,649 for the Inspire Key, $1,249 for the Believe Key, $849 for the Enchant Key, and $499 for the Imagine Key. The Imagine Key is available to Southern California residents with an installment plan for $25.84 per month after a $189 down payment. As in the past, Magic Key sales will be limited and individual tiers will likely sell out. Existing Magic Key annual passes can be renewed during the month before expiration. Disneyland paused new sales of annual passes in September. So, what do you think, Lynn? The Magic Keys are available again.
Do you think they have some kind of a strategy behind this? Like, is there some kind of a, what do they call it, shareholder, what do they call it, like quarterly, you know what I'm talking about,
metrics, or
no, like the shareholders, the quarterly sales or whatever they call it, the,
well, they do the earnings reports for earning the shareholders
reports.
Right?
Yeah, earning, yeah, reports. So do you think that there's a, that they do this just before an earnings report to kind of boost it up a little bit?
I think what they do is they probably follow like five fan accounts on social media, and they notice the, you know, what the person's saying, and then they go, okay, let's mess with these people. Let us take them off of, stop the sales, and let's see how this person reacts. And, you know, then the person's got, like, you know, bills to pay or whatever, and they don't have any money. And then it's like, okay, let's restart the sales right now when they can't afford it. No, I
think I don't know.
No, I know. I'm kidding, sort of. I don't know if, you know, that would be pretty funny if they just kind of based it on, you know, fan chatter.
Yeah.
But I think it's just a matter of they have a formula. You know, and they want a mix of, they want a desirable mix or a favorable mix. I forget what the term is.
Yeah.
But they want a mix of people who are, you know, non-key holders, you know, vacationers who or might be coming once every few years or once in a lifetime. And maybe locals who don't have passes. You know, they want a mix of that with the key holders. And so it's just a matter of, I think once they drop off, once key holders disappear from whatever, you know, there's a certain amount of attrition.
So you think they have a certain number, and when some people don't renew, they then try to
replenish. I think that's
the, yeah,
I think that's what's going on. You know, and there's, unfortunately, there's people who pass away, right?
Right.
There's people who move away and say they're not, you know, it doesn't make sense because I'm living in Kennebunkport, you know, and
some people become a cast member. Like,
that's that's why I stopped being an annual pass holder the first time, is because I became a cast member.
I renewed my pass like 2 months before I hired in.
That's too bad.
But yeah. So very interesting. But this happens periodically throughout the year. Kim brought up in the chat room here is that we have a lot of comments actually. But she had said, yeah, but they still require reservations for Magic Key holders. So
yeah,
that's true. I don't know the reasoning behind that, except for I know that it benefits them to know who's coming, especially pass holders. But
yeah,
That is unfortunate because, like you and Ken, we remember as pass holders before we worked there, if you just want to go in the park, you know, that night.
You might call up your buddy or you might have a date or whatever and say, hey, let's go, you know.
Right.
And it's, that spontaneity was fun. I understand why they're wanting reservations, mm-hmm. but it certainly changes the dynamics of the experience. But yeah, we will have links. Mice Chat covered this. They have an extensive coverage of the Magic Keys. Laughing Place covered it. We will have links to that, as always, on our website at thesweepspot.com. So if you want to click through to get all the details and everything, you can do that. It'll be in our current events portion of the website, thanks to Russell. The Magic Key sales, it'll be interesting to see how quickly they shut down, you know, how quickly they sell out, you know.
Well, we have some comments about other things to do with that. The first one we have here is how much, Michael said, how much for the mildly enthusiastic key? So, John said, we can already see the posts about the website crashing next Wednesday. Michael said website crashes are part of the marketing, and then
it's like having a line for the Dole Whip, you know.
Right. Patrick is also part of the unfavorable attendance mix. And John said Disney fans aren't known to complain much.
No, not at all. Christine, they never gripe.
Christine said website crashes are just part of the fun. So Neil said the he thought reservations were going away. Yeah, and Christine's right, at Disney World they've gone away.
Yeah, don't confuse the two places.
I'm really surprised that they've chosen one park in the U.S. to not have them. And then I know that the two resorts are totally different. They operate differently, but there are a lot of similarities in some of it too. So I'm just surprised, but maybe someday they will. All right, let's move on from that to something a little bit sad here. Reason I say a little bit is because Dick Nunes died, and we know about that. That was December 13th, but he was 91, and you can't ask for a greater life than living to 91, and he's accomplished so much during that time. This is from the OC Register, and it's by Brady McDonald. It says, Dick Nunes learned directly from Walt Disney how to run Disneyland and went on to play a key role in the development of the Anaheim theme park, Disney World, Tokyo Disneyland, and Disneyland Paris. The Disney legend and former Disneyland executive vice president died on December 13th in Orlando, Florida, at the age of 91, according to Walt Disney Company. After graduating from USC, go Trojans, Nunes landed a summer job at Disneyland in May of 1955, just 2 months before the Anaheim theme park opened to the public. Nunes ended up working for Disney University founder Van France, and together they trained future Disneyland employees in Walt Disney's theme park philosophy. Their first students, Walt and his Disneyland executives. Nunes quickly worked his way up the ladder at Disneyland from orientation training instructor to attraction supervisor to mailroom supervisor to park operations director. By 1971, when Magic Kingdom opened in Florida, Nunes was named executive vice president of Disneyland and Disney World. In the 80s, he oversaw Epcot and what would become Disney's Hollywood Studios. Nunes consulted on the development of Tokyo Disneyland and Disneyland Paris as a member of the Walt Disney Productions Board of Directors. He retired in 1999 as the chairman of Walt Disney Attractions after 44 years with the company. Wow.
Yeah, I mean, Dick was big. He was a main part of the leadership team. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I remember seeing him in person at different events. And, you know, when they say those titles like vice president or whatever, they right. didn't have president. You know, everybody was, all the top executives were vice presidents. They weren't president because the company just didn't have as many titles as it did. You know, the president was, of course, up there at the very top of the corporation. So,
right.
And, you know, there's all kinds of stories about dealing with the newness. yeah, the is kind of a pun because, you know, he was always involved. You know, he was involved in getting Walt Disney World open. You know, all the newness of it. You know, and famous stories of Greenside Up, when they're rolling out the sod. You know, because it's last minute. And you know, he was there. He's one of the reasons that. I mean, we talk sometimes about just the capacity at Disney parks and to a large extent Universal as well, and other parks that don't have that capacity. It's because they weren't influenced by Dick Nunes. He was obsessed with getting people loaded and unloaded quickly in attractions and cycling people through. Because you have to remember, the earlier days, there was the A through E coupon system. At first, it was A through C, but, you know. Mm-hmm. So the more people they got through attractions, the more money they brought in. And it's not as direct. That's not as direct anymore, but the legacy is still mm-hmm. there. You know, we need this. We need capacity. And they even say in the story, they talk about Pirates of the Caribbean not being a walkthrough, but being a boat ride, mm-hmm. and getting people through, and how he wanted a log ride at Disneyland, and so, you know, the Imagineers came up with Splash Mountain and all that sort of stuff. So, it's a big loss, but you know, he had a long and storied life. He does. There is a book out there that he's, you know, author of.
Yeah, it's called Walt. I have it right here because Christine mentioned it in the comments that it's a great book, and it is. It's called Walt's Apprentice, and it's Keeping the Disney Dream Alive by Dick Nunes. And
yeah, I haven't. I've almost finished the book. I've been reading it in little tidbits here and there while I've been doing other stuff. But I don't know how much he actually sat down and physically wrote himself, but it's definitely his stories.
Right.
Because mm-hmm. He was there. I mean, he was there from the start of Disneyland. And then all through all those years as management changed and all that sort of thing. And then eventually, of course, he retired. I mean, he tried to pass on as much as he could about, you know, this is why we do things the way we do. And you got to keep doing things to this standard, you know. So.
Right. Well, he will be missed for sure. You have just the one comment Christine mentioned about his book. So, yeah, if you haven't read his book yet, I highly recommend that you do if you're interested in knowing more about him. And it's a great book. All right.
Well, I don't know if you're aware of this, but they are changing Splash Mountain into Tiana's Bayou Adventure. I know that's been kind of a hush-hush and quiet sort of thing.
Are you serious?
But they are. And there was actually a story, again, from Brittany McDonald in the Register. First look inside Tiana's Bayou Adventure at Disneyland. So as it says here, this is back on December 18th, Walt Disney Imagineering offered the first look inside the new Tiana's Bayou Adventure attractions coming to Disneyland and Walt Disney World, as the former Splash Mountain rides continue to undergo extensive Princess and the Frog makeovers. The brief peek inside the attraction showed Imagineers working in a scene with an old cabin framed by a magnolia tree and waving fields of tall grass set against a night sky in the background. And then there you can hear a banjo playing and a guy smoking his pipe. No, wait, that's Pirates of the Caribbean. Never mind. The sneak peek of Tiana's Bayou Adventure appeared during Disney 100, A Century of Dreams on Disney-owned ABC as part of a special edition of the 2020 News Magazine show. It was unclear whether the 2020 footage was filmed at Disneyland in Anaheim or the Magic Kingdom in Florida, but the twin ride makeovers are expected to be identical on both coasts. Disneyland and Disney World closed the Splash Mountain attractions earlier this year, which last year, 2023, so Imagineering could begin the process of transforming the classic log flume rides. The dueling versions of Tiana's Bayou Adventure are set to debut in late 2024. Yeah, did you see it at all? I mean, I saw
a little bit.
I saw a little imagery.
Yeah, they didn't show a whole lot, but yeah, I saw a little bit of it. Looks good. I hope it hope it's better than Splash Mountain, because if it's not, then why did they get rid of it?
Yeah, of course. That's the bottom line, is I hope it's better than what it replaced, and I don't want the parks to have something that's not good. Now physically, I don't think they're really changing the flume, right? I don't think that's probably not part of what's going on here. So if you like the physicality of the attraction before, I'm sure you'll like that still. But the show elements, you know, it'll be interesting to see what they do, because we know that the technology that exists nowadays, you know, is pretty impressive. So.
Yeah.
Hopefully the storytelling is good, and hopefully it's a success. Let's put it this way. There's always going to be people who are going to say, I want Splash Mountain, but, I want the average guest, not the diehard enthusiast, you know, that's a different story, but I want the average guest to come off of that and say, wow, that was a lot of fun, and I'd like to do that again. That's what I'm hoping for. So yeah. We'll see what happens.
Yeah. I mean, your idea about putting, you know, earbuds in and putting the Splash Mountain soundtrack on as soon as you leave and closing your eyes was a good one, but maybe...
I have that idea?
I'm kidding. No, I had that idea just now. I just thought of it.
Okay.
So if you're not ready to give up Splash Mountain, you could do that and imagine it, and it'll be the same thing. So so we do have a couple comments. Christine said, "Oh, is that what they're doing?" And John said they're refurbishing the water too. It's true.
I sure hope so. They're not. I hope they're not just leaving it stagnating somewhere.
Yeah. No, I hope it's good. You know, I think it probably will be good. I haven't went on anything recently that Disney's done and said, oh, that's awful. You know, so
yeah.
You know, I can't see it being bad. But of course, we're gonna miss. You know, we have nostalgia for things that we grew up with and have memories and. That's probably the only reason, one of the main reasons that we don't want it to go. But Michael said they will hand out VR glasses for those who must have the original.
There you go.
There you are. We are going down the bayou, DW said. It'll be no Golden Zephyr, that's for sure.
Splash Mountain was often much better in the wind. You know, it would push the waves up when you know, if you got the wind going just right.
Yeah.
When you hit the drop one, the drop five run out, the finale, the drop there, and when you'd hit the end of the run out right out there by the river, if the wind was going just right, it would really push the water up.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's not like Golden Zephyr, no.
Do you think, I hope they do this, I hope they reuse some of the animatronics.
Well, I think you might see Jackie Chan and you might see Drew Carey. Oh, wait, that's never mind.
No, but I mean, I hope they reuse, because there's going to be animals in the ride, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
they could use Stadler and Walt, you know, they could, they're not using those over at the former Muppet Vision Theater. You have those guys in there, cracking jokes about the riders as they go by.
Yeah. Well, there's talk about snoring, that there better be snoring in the ride.
Better be snoring. That's right.
Well, there might be snoring, but I don't know.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's we're going to get more and more of these updates as we get closer. They say by late 2024. I wonder if they're just, I mean, it seems they've never really opened an attraction late in the year, right? It's usually always been like fall or spring or summer.
Yeah, we'll have to see. I mean, it'd be interesting if it opens up in the fall and then it's just pouring rain all the time. Or the original Splash Mountain was gonna have its grand opening in like January.
Yeah,
it was gonna soft open in November and have its grand opening in January. It's, you know, not the warmest time of year.
Right, but it makes sense too. The slower, because it's going to draw more crowds, so kind of a slower. Traditionally, it was a slower time, but
true.
Yeah. All right. Well, snoring is at DCA. Oh, that's soaring, Johnson. All right.
snoring over California.
All right. Yeah. Moving on here. So the next story we have is brought to you from laughingplace.com from Tony Betty. Mm-hmm. It's titled Disneyland to add Pirates of the Caribbean to Genie Plus Lightning Lane temporarily starting next month. This month, actually. Disneyland's iconic Pirates of the Caribbean attraction is slated to be added to the lineup of attractions with Lightning Lane access through the Disney Genie Plus service. The addition is only a temporary one, being added to the list of available attractions as a result of nearby attractions being closed for refurbishment. Splash Mountain has already closed to make way for Tiana's Bayou Adventure, set to open later in 2024, and in only a matter of days, the Haunted Mansion will also close for an extended refurbishment. Guests visiting the Disneyland Resort can find Pirates of the Caribbean in Disney Genie Plus service starting Monday, January 22nd. There has been no date announced for when it will be removed, but it is emphasized that this is only temporary addition at the time of this article. But I wonder, and we kind of talked extensively about this in our bonus episode, so if you get those, you'll hear us more talk about that. But well, you will get them because you guys are all part of that. But I hope it's only temporary and not something they add all the time, because I don't know, you know, we've talked about this. We were working there when they added it to FastPass, and it was kind of a mess. It didn't work out, and they took it off. Right? I don't remember for how long it was there. I want to say it was no more than a month, and it was probably just weeks. And they took it off, and there was a reason for that. And that ride is designed to, you know, to handle a lot of crowds. It's a people eater. They consider that. And it's no longer going to be that with this edition, I don't think. We'll see.
Yeah.
But, yeah. What do you think, Ken?
Well, I think we can talk a lot about this in the bonus episode that...
Yeah.
That,
but for those that don't...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I think this is... I don't think this is a decision being made for the benefit of the guests. I think it's just to justify, you know, they want people to pay for Genie Plus. And in order for people to do that, people have to see there's that paying for Genie Plus gives them these more options. And
right.
So they've got to have attractions. You know, when you have a bunch of attractions that'll be down, you know, you need to have replace them with something. So of course you add Pirates of the Caribbean, but is that really going to enhance the guest experience? You know? So I think to a certain extent, that should be the priority, the guest experience.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing wrong with making money, but when you're going to fool with things in a way to try to get people to spend money without really offering them something that's really more than, you know.
I don't know if it's really adding more. I mean, like I had mentioned.
Yeah, it's not. I don't think it is. I don't think it's adding. Yeah. I don't think it's adding a benefit to the guests.
Even if you have Genie Plus, I don't think it is.
Not much, you know. It's yeah.
No, because there's so many options. You can only carry one at a time, basically. So
yeah.
There's so many options to. I mean, that's why I enjoyed rides like Jungle Cruise and Pirates when you're on the West Side, is because if you have a Genie Plus for Big Thunder, you're going to, and it's not yet your time, you're going to want to do something else. And Pirates was always a great one because you knew even in a 15-minute wait plus the ride, you're looking at, you know, a half an hour or more. So it was a great time to do that and not use, you know, and you can only use them once per attraction, once a day. So that's another thing. I don't know. We'll see how it goes, but I just think sometimes the management that wasn't there when they tried it before looks at the attraction and says, well, there's two lines, just use one for Genie Plus. How simple is that? You know, and I get it, but I just don't know if this is the ride for that. But although, I mean, we had mentioned Small World is a similar ride system, and you know they've had it on that for years now. So I don't think it's as popular.
I don't know what makes Small World different. I think it's just the loading air, load and unload is out there. It's all in open air,
right?
It's all visible, and somehow it makes it different. I'm not sure what it is, but anyway. Would anyone in the chat room have anything to say about it?
Yeah. Christine said, also known as temporary disaster. Michael Parks, they can use the Haunted Mansion queue area for the new Pirates overflow. Although there will be walls around a lot of New Orleans Square in that area. Around in front of the train station and that area. So that's going to create more of a mess because the standby line is going to be longer, I think.
You got to have a place to put the standby line.
Yeah, we'll just have to see because if the standby line, if people are taken out of the standby line and shopping or going on Mark Twain or something else while they're waiting for the return time for Pirates, then... You know, maybe that'll take some people out of the standby. John said Small World should have a sleeping and non-sleeping line. Yeah. Or yeah, like, or give the Michael said, or give the guests wetsuits and extend the line into the rivers of America. Yeah. So we'll just have to see how this goes. I just don't have a good feeling about it. I don't like it. There's a lot of people that don't like it. Disney likes it. But we'll just have to see what happens. I hope it's only temporary. Some of these things, you know, if it actually does kind of work, then I think they'll probably keep it. But I hope it is just temporary. At least until Haunted Mansion reopens back. And who knows? You know, there hasn't even been, and we'll get to that later, but there hasn't even been an official, haven't heard anything official from Disney that Haunted Mansion is closing on the 22nd. Maybe I have, but it's not on the app or the website. But at the moment I checked, but I keep hearing the 22nd is the date. So makes sense though, because this is starting on the 22nd. So it makes sense.
But interesting.
It's not updated on anything yet. And then there's a whole talk about that the attraction will be, the original Haunted Mansion will be down until, you know, 2025, but I don't know about that either. There's been no official word. All right. Well, let's move on.
Oh, if we must. Well, then, our long national nightmare has finally come to an end. We have new ambassadors installed. This from the Orange County Register. Surprisingly, from Brady McDonald. The headline, Disneyland Ambassadors Pass Title to Next Theme Park Spokespeople, Natalie Guzman-Garcia and Mark Everett King Jr. will finish their two-year term as Disneyland Ambassadors on New Year's Eve. So obviously this was released before the turn of the year. And hand over the roles to Jada Young and Raul Aquino Rojas. So, yeah, I think you probably noticed everything changed with the turn of the year. Let's see here. Natalie Guzman-Garcia and Mark Everett Jr. will finish their two-year term as Disneyland ambassadors on Sunday, December 31st, and hand over the roles to Jada Young and Raul Aquino Rojas, who will begin their two-year term on Monday, January 1st. And now, see, they get a leap year, too, so they get an extra day. Garcia and King's ambassadorships started on January 1st, 2022, just 8 months after Disneyland and DCA emerged from a year-long pandemic closure. The first Disneyland ambassador was selected in late 1964 by Walt Disney from a field of 135 applicants, all of them Disneyland cast members, which is Disney lingo for employees. Walt was always receiving requests for media interviews and to attend numerous events, like the 1964 Anaheim Halloween Parade. The six Disneyland Ambassador finalists participated in the parade, freeing Walt to focus on other pressing matters at the theme park and his movie studio. Let's see here. It says, Disneyland Ambassadors endure an extensive selection process where they are judged on qualities like poise, personality, and how far they can jump. Now, I added that last one. The all-female role was expanded to include men in 1995. Today, Disneyland ambassadors also lead a series of behind-the-scenes cast member events and represent the park's 34,000 employees. In a modern twist, they also serve as brand ambassadors and social media influencers, creating content published on Disney Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook accounts. Wow. They still call it Twitter in this, you know, that's so 2023. yeah. After the first of the year, you'll be able to recognize Garcia and King in the parks by their gold name tags issued to all Disneyland ambassadors upon completion of their term. So, yeah.
Okay.
We have new ambassadors, and I understand they're the embassies are being redecorated, and right? I don't know. Lynn, did you ever try out for the ambassador program?
Oh, Ken, no.
We had Robin on our program. She was an ambassador.
We did, yeah.
Not while we had her on the program, but no. Yeah. So, I thought they were all sent to Siberia when they were done until we had Robin on the program. You know, like, because they knew too much.
Probably. Know?
And anyways. All right. Yep. How's the chat room going?
Oh, just checking things out here. Christine said that Haunted Mansion is on the Mansion website. I don't look at the website. I just look at the app. And it's not on the app. So not yet. At least it wasn't this morning when I looked. So we will find out when that is added.
Yes.
All right. Moving on. This is from the OC Register from Brady McDonald. 5 fireworks shows coming to Disneyland in 2024. Fans of the Disneyland fireworks will get to see 5 different pyrotechnic shows between now and the end of summer as the Anaheim theme park rolls out a familiar and somewhat complex lineup of nighttime entertainment for the first half of 2024. Disneyland will host the Believe in Holiday Magic, Mickey's Mix Magic, Together Forever, Wondrous Journeys, and the Star Wars themed fireworks shows over the next 9 months. What about the Halloween one? Is that one of these? No.
Huh.
Well, 6 then. All right. Maybe. I thought there was a name for that. All right. Disneyland will also bring back the Magic Happens Parade on February 2nd with no end date announced. A Christmas Fantasy Parade runs through January 7th when the holiday season comes to a close. There are no plans for a Disneyland Parade from January 8th to February 1st. Probably do like a cavalcade thing. The new Better Together Parade runs April 26th through August 4th at Disney California Adventure as part of the Pixar Fest. I'm glad they're getting a parade. I'm not much for the parades, but I'm glad they're getting a parade at California Adventure. The parade route there when they built the park, they built the parade route into it, you know.
Right.
I don't think that was something that was really like a consideration when they built Disneyland. I mean, they obviously Main Street, but so it just seemed natural fit to have a parade there, and they haven't had one there. You know, they had the Halloween Oogie Boogie Bash event, and they had a parade as part of that, but they haven't had a regular parade there since, it's been a while, like way before the closures. So that's good. I'm glad they're bringing it back, and looks like we have a whole year of pyrotechnics to look forward to, wind permitting.
yeah.
Let's see. Michael said, I thought they meant only 5 fireworks per show. 5 fireworks per show.
They're really cutting back. It's the air quality management district is getting on their case.
That's right. Well, all right. Well, I think we're going to move on from that because there's not really a whole lot to say except for it's going to happen. And looking forward to the different ones they're going to host throughout the years.
All right. Okay. new concept art released for Disneyland's Pixar Fest. And this was at Laughing Place from Marshall Knight. Disney Parks blog posted a list of things to look forward to from Disney experiences this year. So for, you know, worldwide, I guess. And within that, revealed a new bit of concept art for the upcoming Pixar Fest at Disneyland Resort. The new concept art reveals the festival marquee at the start of Main Street, USA. Pixar Fest will take place at Disneyland Resort from April 26th through August 4th. Be kind of hard to take place from August 26th through August 4th. That's, you know, you could go to Universal and their DeLorean for that. But so did you see that? I saw it online and some people were kind of complaining about it. I know it's hard to believe, but there's Disney fans that complain sometimes.
Oh,
yeah.
What was the complaint?
That it just kind of looked bad. And
oh,
some people were saying, hey, if you think that looks bad, and they started posting pictures of like the Ferris wheel from at the train station during State Fair. And
yeah, they weren't around during those times.
They said this is just a temporary thing. So even if you don't like it, it won't be there. You know, it'll.
Yeah.
So, yeah. We do have our chat room open. We have our supporters, our Patreon supporters, joining us. So they're in there chatting away.
Yeah.
Doing side conversations, you know.
Yeah. We do have a comment on this, the last story. Michael is saying, just speculating, but I bet Walt would be innovating drone shows, not because they would be cheaper, but because they can be big time amazing. True.
Yeah, I think eventually we're going to see some really interesting stuff done with drones and kind of floating screens. And I think there's all kinds of stuff that's ahead in the next decade or so with the technology that's emerging.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. So, yeah, because Walt was always on top or even ahead of. Yeah, he would have already had the drones and been moving to something else by now. Yeah.
Yeah. Stay tuned, folks. There's going to be stuff for sure. That's,
oh, yeah.
You know, it's just a matter of the logistics of it all. And
are they going to add drones to Tiana's Bayou Adventure?
Maybe.
All right.
Well, as always, MiceChat.com has really picture-heavy updates from Disneyland. They had one from Mike Kendrick on December 11th that was titled Disneyland Update, The Big Christmas Lockout. Ooh. And they had one from Natalie Kipper on December 18th. The Long Wait, Magic Key Woes, and Iger's Uphill Battle. And then they had another one on December 25th, Unwrapping New Thrills and Holiday Humbugs. And that was from Dusty Sage. And so, you know, there's always something to check out from, you know, MiceChat. You can get all the updates on what's happening at the resorts. All the pictures, you know, that you want to see of everything that we've been talking about. And like I said, the links to all this stuff will be on the current events section of our website. Lynn, what refurb information do we have?
There's not much. We have the Astro Orbiter is still closed and there's no return date. As you say, closed indefinitely.
Closed and, well, they kind of took it apart, you know.
Yeah. So, yeah. So, anyway, so that's happening. The Mark Twain's been down a while, too. They're undergoing a big refurb for that. From what it looks like, they're kind of redoing a lot of the wood and the paddle wheel and stuff. So, that's good. It's an old, I mean, it's old. So, it needs it for sure. I'm glad they're keeping up on all this. Especially the old stuff. So, The Blue Bayou will be closed January 8th and reopening on the 20th. And then we have Grizzly River Run, January 8th. And reopening has not been announced yet, but I'm assuming when the weather gets warmer, usually about March, it seems like, is when they kind of reopen that. Seems like it goes down every year about that time. We also have Inside Out Emotional Whirlwind, closed January 22nd and reopening February 8th. And then we have Sailing Ship Columbia, closed February 5th and will reopen on the 9th. So just a few days there. And then I have Haunted Mansion closing January 22nd. So I get all my info from the app. I don't check the website, so maybe I should start doing that if they're going to have different different things for different days. So. But that's all I have, Ken.
All right. Well, anything further from our chat room?
Let's look and see. No. No, nothing new at the moment, but I think that we can say our little closure here is that we I did want to mention that we're going to be at Disneyland Friday, January 19th. Ken and myself will both be there, so you can contact us during that day on any of the social medias. You can follow me at The Sweep Spot. You know, you can follow us on our Facebook group, post something, say, hey, I'd love to meet up with you guys sometime, and then we'll kind of reach out, try to figure something out. I don't want to say like, hey, we're going to be here at 12 noon because we just don't know what we're going to be doing, and we don't want to cause, like, if there is a lot of people, I don't expect it, but if there is a lot, we don't want to cause a problem. And then on the 18th, I'll be there, but it'll be like later in the evening, afternoon, evening. So depending on when I get there and all that. So yeah, you can also hit me up for that date if you're going to be there on the 18th. And I'd love to meet up with you and say hi. And this is kind of a rare thing, so if you have the opportunity, you can do that. Lightning Lane available to meet Lynn and Ken. That's right.
They're going to add us a Genie Plus.
Yeah. Yeah. Also, leave us a review. If you've been listening to this show for more than one episode and you enjoy it, please go over to iTunes, Apple Podcasts, and leave us a review. We'd really appreciate it. And want to thank our patrons for joining us in the chat room here. We always enjoy doing these. It's always a lot of fun. We do these once a month, so if you'd like to join in on the fun, as we always say, you can join our Patreon over at thesweetspot.com or go to Patreon and search The Sweet Spot that way. But wanted to thank everyone for listening.
And do spread the word and tell people we're here.
That's right. We'll talk to you next time.